Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 11. The book of Romans in chapter number 11. We are in a Sunday school series of the treasures in darkness. And that as the Bible goes through, it's to give comfort that when sometimes the darkest things we could ever go through can sometimes seem to be the best things we could go through. And last week, we explained the phrase that was found in the book of Isaiah of treasures in darkness. And it went over the idea of Cyrus and that God knew about Cyrus 150 years before he was born. And he had all the details worked out. And God is a God who works out the details. When God gives prophecies, they're not vague prophecies that could fulfill anything. They are specific prophecies that can only be fulfilled in a certain way. And as we come through the idea of treasures of darkness, we need to remember that our comfort doesn't come from the circumstances. Our comfort comes from God. And that our comfort is based off of the level that our God is able to take care of, that He's able to understand, that He's able to know. And so look with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 11. The book of Romans, chapter number 11, and notice with me in verse number 33. Romans 11 and verse number 33, the Word of God says this: Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And in the book of Romans, chapter number 11, the book of Romans, chapter 11, and notice the phrase in verse 33, where it talks about God, that His ways are past finding out. Romans chapter 11, and verse number 33, it says that His ways are past finding out. As we're going through our Sunday school series of Treasures in Darkness, we're now on our second lesson here. And as we were explaining that our comfort comes not from situations, it comes from God. And that it's directly proportionate about how much God knows, how much He can understand, how much He takes care of. Notice, if you don't mind, as we examine this, that we were reminded that God is an infinite God. But we're of finite beings, meaning that our knowledge is limited. Have you ever realized that you don't know everything? Have you ever realized you don't even know half of everything? Our knowledge is very finite. There's a lot of times that we make decisions not having all the information. And when all the information comes, we realize we would have made a different decision. But notice something it says in verse 33. Notice this: all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. As we try to introduce this concept, notice that God's wisdom is based off of His knowledge. That God's wisdom is based off of His knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is the information we know. Wisdom is knowledge applied. You know why God can be an all-wise God? Because He has an all-knowledge. He knows everything, and because He knows everything, He can apply properly. His ways are past finding out because He knows everything. And He knows how to apply the knowledge He has. You know, we can trust the wisdom of God because He knows everything. We can trust how God applies things. He can guide us because He sees everything. He sees all of history. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen in our life. He knows the consequences. And so our God, because of His wisdom, because of His knowledge, can guide us to where we're supposed to go. And by the way, we can have great comfort that God knows what He's doing, because He knows everything. His ways are past finding out. No wonder that God uses His perfect knowledge all the time, and He's able to guide us, and we just have to listen to His voice to allow Him to guide us. as we're introducing this concept, not only do we understand that God's wisdom is based off his knowledge, a second thing that we have to recognize in ourselves is that man's knowledge is limited. Man's knowledge is limited. Notice with me in verse number 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Notice this. Which one of you that God says, you know, I'm stumped. I need some advice. I think I'm going to call Mr. George and see what he thinks about this. You know, God doesn't ask us for our counsel. Why? He doesn't need it. He knows everything. None of us can go and advise God and tell him what to do. Though, isn't it true sometimes when we pray, we try to tell God what he should do? You know, you really need to go do this for me because this is what I need best. You understand that God knows more than we do, and he knows what we need best. He knows what is necessary to bring us along. He knows what is necessary. And we have to get to the idea when we recognize we don't know as much as we think we know. And we just need to allow God to be God and to guide us and to direct us. Because none of us are smarter than God. It is pride to think that we know better than God. Think about this, that the Bible may give a specific commandment to do this, or maybe it gives a principle that we should do this. And what happens is that someone full of pride says, you know, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do this anyways because I know better. They may not say it that way, but that's how they behave. I know better than God. Oh, it's all right if I don't go to church. It's fine. It's not all right. God knows better. He knows you need it. He knows you need it. Well, I don't have to read my Bible. It's not a big deal. It does affect you. It affects you quite a bit. Well, it's no big deal if I don't pray. It is a big deal. You know, when we get to the place where we're disobedient, it's because of pride, and we actually get to the idea that we think we know better than God. But God knows everything, and we know very little. And so when we come to a situation, we all know people who are mad and bitter at God. God, why'd you allow this to happen? Well, God knows exactly what he's doing. We may not realize it at the time, but sometimes the very worst things that can happen in our life could be the very best things that happen to our life because God knows exactly what he's doing. We have to get back to the place where we can trust God. God knows what he's doing. I could trust him. Doesn't mean everything's easy and everything's a bed of roses, but I know that God knows what he's doing. He knows all the information and he knows how to apply it to get his purpose accomplished in my own life. I can trust him. You know, we can't add anything to God, to his knowledge. We can't add anything to what he's already said. We can't add to perfection. We should desire for each event that God allows in our life to be used for his glories because his ways are past finding out. That brings us the question, if God knows more than us and we know very little and God knows everything and his ways are past finding out and that he can guide us because of his wisdom, that bodes the question, how can we learn more about God? How can we know God more? Well, that's a great question. If you don't mind, I'd like to take the Bible and I'd like to show you how we can know God more. And as we know God more, we could trust him more and allow him to guide. First of all, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. And let's see what the Bible says of how we can know God. How can we know him? How can we find strength in him because of our knowledge of God? You know, the more that you are more intimate, the more that you know someone, the more that you can trust them, the more you know how they're going to react. So the closer we get with God, the more intimate we get with God, the more we can trust him. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, and verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So verse 1, it speaks about that God spoke in different ways using prophets and writings and visions. But you know how he's spoken to us in these last days? By his Son. Notice this. Hath in his last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he, that's God, hath appointed heir unto all things, by also He made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of His glory, notice this as it talks about Jesus, and the expressed image of His person. You know who Jesus is? Jesus is the expressed image of God's person. If you want to know God, you need to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you do not know God. That's simple, but it's profound at the same time. That if you want to know God, you must know Jesus. Jesus spoke about that Himself, that any man who does not know the Son does not know the Father. Why is that? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God robed in flesh. If you want to think about it abstractly, that God is a spirit. God is the Father. God is not robed in flesh. You know, it's a hard thing for us to understand who God is, because He's beyond our understanding. Maybe I'll throw a little bit of science in. All right. Well, that won't kill you guys too much. We know that we live in four dimensions, right? Maybe take somewhere in a blank sheet of paper or something. Maybe you could do some science with me. All right. Start off with a dot. All right. Put a dot. Just give yourself some room. Put a little dot. If we were to add the first dimension, we understand we live in more dimensions, right? The first dimension, write a line, that is the first dimension. So maybe write a horizontal line. That's all it is. The first dimension is going to be width. Then what happens is if you square that line, you now have what is called a square. That is now the second dimension, right? So the first dimension is just width. When you take that width and you multiply it, you now add height. All right. So this is a basic science that you, width, square that, it now becomes a square. You add to it height. Now what happens if you take that square and you square it again? What happens is that you get volume. So make that square into a cube. All right. So you start off with a line and you square that, you get from length, you get height. When you take length and height and you square that, now you add volume. So a line turns into a square, that square turns into a cube. Now what happens when you square that? Does anybody know off the top of the head? What dimension do you get after that? The fourth dimension, which would be duration or time. Now we're going more abstractly, that we are three-dimensional beings, meaning that we see height, width, and volume, but we perceive time. We can't travel in time, but we perceive time. So we're three-dimensional beings who perceive four. Does that make sense? All right, I'm not trying to get too complicated, but let's say that we have a two-dimensional being, meaning he sees height and width, but he perceives volume, okay? So we got Mr. Flat here. And let's take Mr. Flat here, his wife. So Mr. Flat, Mrs. Flat, okay? Now, because they're two-dimensional beings who perceive three, if they perceive, look at me, they're not going to get the whole picture, right? Because I'm a three-dimensional being. They're Mr. and Mrs. Flat. So let's say that Mr. Flat looks at my finger. All he sees is a cross section. He can't understand all of me. All right. Then you get Mrs. Flat who looks and I put two fingers down. She perceives two fingers. And what happens? They get back and they discuss what they see. And then they start the church of the one finger and the church of the two fingers. Right. Good. Now, you understand what I'm trying to say is that a two-dimensional being will have a hard time understanding a three-dimensional being. We, as three-dimensional beings, will have a hard time understanding a four-dimensional being. You understand that God is outside of time? God is omnipresent. He is outside of time. He fits time in the palm of His hand. He sees all of time at once. That's beyond our comprehension. And so God Himself is someone that we could not understand. Does that sort of make sense? Because He's outside. So what God did in order to relate to man, in order for man to have some sort of understanding, is that God, in all of His infinite, all of His power, all of His majesty and glory, robed Himself in flesh and dwelt among us. And what he did is he now allowed us to understand just a bit of who God is through Jesus, who the Bible says in Hebrews is the expressed image of God. That Jesus is God who is robed in a fashion that we can somehow understand him to a degree. And so when you get to know Jesus, you get to know God. Now, I understand the science kind of is a big thing, but does that get the point across? That God is beyond our comprehension. But in order for God to relate to us to a degree, he robed himself in flesh so we can understand just a bit of him, so we can understand a little bit of his compassion. And when you study the Lord Jesus and you study his life, you see how God cares for people. Jesus didn't go up beating everybody up. He was love. But he was also stern. He was also clear in his teaching. He was also compassionate. He was the weeping prophet. You know that Jesus wept and he cried? He was identified with Jeremiah. He was a man who was known for his preaching. He was identified with John the Baptist because of his preaching. He was identified with Elijah because of his miracles. And yet all of that gives us an idea, a clue, a little bit of a way that we can understand God through Jesus Christ. And the closer we get with Jesus, the more that we'll understand more about God. And so the first one we're talking about, how can we know God? Because his ways are past knowing. How can we know this God whose ways are past knowing? First of all, by Jesus Christ. That the closer you get with Jesus, the more that you'll understand about God and who he is. So that bodes another question. How else can we get to know God? How else can we get close to God? How else can we get to know him? Well, that's a great question. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. If you're in Hebrews right now, turn the other direction. Go to Philemon, Titus. Then you'll go to 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. Then you go to 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. If you continue on, you'll come to the book of Colossians. Then you go to Philippians, and then you'll come to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 3. So we know that we can get to know God through his son, Jesus. As we get to know Jesus, we'll get to know God more. And the more we know God, the more that we can trust God and who he is, and his guidance and his knowledge and his wisdom. A second way that we could get to know God, notice with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, and notice this starting in verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, and notice as he begins to express his prayer, verse number 13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees," so he's praying, "unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit, with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, and the length, and the depth, and the height." Hey, I just kind of explained that just a bit ago, didn't I? Good. Notice with me in verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." And verse number 14, it says Paul is praying, and he's praying that they would know all about Christ, and that they can know Christ by verse 20. It's talking about asking or thinking. But all throughout this passage, what it's trying to give a semblance of is that we can know God through prayer. Do you understand that when we pray, we're talking to a person? Amen. We're talking to a being. We're not talking to the ceiling. Our prayers aren't getting floated by the clouds and hope it's brought somewhere. We're not talking to grandma. You probably heard about the little girl who Christmas was coming around, and so she decided to pray near grandma. "God, I would like this doll. There's a certain doll that I want." And her mother came and says, "You don't have to yell at God in prayer. God's not deaf. She goes, no, but grandma is. The problem is that girl wasn't talking to God, was she? She was talking to grandma. You know, sometimes people use prayers to talk at someone else and they're not even talking to God. We shouldn't preach to people in our prayers. We should be talking to God. So what we're trying to say is that God is a real person. And because he's a real person and he cares for you, you should talk to God just like you would anyone else. You tell him your thoughts, your fears. You tell him what you're scared of. You tell him when you're happy. Speak to him. Hey, when's the last time you told God, how's your day going? What's on your mind? When's the last time you were in a conversation with God? By the way, he'll speak back to you, not in an audible voice and not with light coming through the clouds and the angels going, ah. But as you speak to him, he will speak back. When's the last time in prayer that you spoke to him and then in the middle of the prayer you shut up and allowed him to talk back? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they just didn't shut up? You know, have you ever had like your in-laws or something that they kept talking and you could put the phone down and go walk around and pick it back up and go, uh-huh, and they didn't even know you were gone? I mean, we shouldn't do that to God. We should allow him the opportunity to speak to us. We should allow him that time where we're quiet and allow it, because he's a real being. And as you talk with God and not talk at God, notice there's a difference between talking at God and talking with God. When we talk at God, sometimes we just give him our laundry list. All right, God, you're my servant, so you do this and get this done for me and get this done for me and get it done by 5 and a bacon sandwich too, and I'll see you later. Don't we pray like that sometimes? We go up to God and we tell him all of our list of demands and what we want. And it's almost like he works for us instead of we work for him. Now, God does want to hear our concerns and he does want to hear our request. But we need to talk with him rather than at him. And as you talk with him and as you spend time with him, guess what? Your relationship gets closer. Speaking to him, realizing he's a real person and being with him, and you get to trust God more knowing who he is. So how can we get closer with God? Well, first of all, we know God by knowing his son. A second way, we know God by knowing him through prayer. Through prayer, we get to know God. There's a last way that we get to know God. Turn with me to the gospel record of John chapter 7. The Gospel record of John, chapter 7. In John 7, he gives another promise. John, chapter 7, and verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus gives a promise here that anything that you want to come to God, that if you're willing to do what he tells you to do, he'll tell you what's right and he'll tell you what's not right. When it carries the idea, if you're going to do his will, you're going to obey his word. When you submit yourself to his word and say, God, whatever you'd have me to do, you just tell me what to do. Guess what? You'll get to know God more. We can know God through his word. You know, there's many people who read the Bible that don't get close to God. You ever wonder why that is? How college professors can read the Bible all the way through and they can teach courses on it, but they don't know God? Have you ever wondered why some other Christian religions can read through the Bible and teach the Bible, but yet they don't know God? Why is that? Because they have no desire to obey his word. When you obey his word and submit to it, you get to know Christ in a more intimate way. You get to know God through your word. That's one of the reasons why I say every week, the greatest thing you can do on a daily basis is to read the word of God for yourself. Why? You get to know God. This is a living book, right? Inspiration, right? This is a God-breathed book. This is not just a fairy tale book or mythology book a religious book. This is a living book that God himself breathed and that God is able to speak to us through his word. He's able to direct us through his word. That we know the Bible is not of any private interpretation. It means only one thing, but there's many applications. But as we surrender and say, God, I'll obey your word, we'll get to know him more. Now, all this is building up to the idea that we can trust God, that God has all knowledge. And because he has all knowledge, his wisdom is perfect. His ways are past finding out. Because of that, we can trust a God who knows everything. We can trust a God who's proven himself over and over and over. So when you get to know him, you know that he's not trying to harm you. It may hurt, but it's not going to harm you. There's a difference. And he's looking out for the best for him. When you know someone and they honestly want the best for you, you can trust them. When you know them and you know that they love you intimately, they love you so much, you understand they're going to do what's best for you. That's something amazing about our God. His ways are past searching out. His wisdom is based off of his knowledge. And the more we get to know him, the more intimate we are with him, the more that our God is going to be trusted by us. And that we can, when we go through those hard times, we don't freak out. We don't start panicking and say, God, why? I thought you loved me. We recognize that because he loves us, he's going to go with us. And he's got the best things at the other side. He knows what he's doing. We can trust him more. And we don't have to be killed by events happening in our life, that we don't have to just lose everything that we know about Christianity just because some hard bumps hit us in the road. That his ways are unsearchable, they're past finding out, but yet our God is knowable. That's one of the attributes of God, is that he is both knowable and knowable. Meaning you can know things about God and you can know him, but you can never know everything about him. You can continue to find him and learn about him. And the closer you get with God, the more that you will trust God. What a wonderful God. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.